Father, we thank you for your word. We open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Thank you that this is a safe place for us to learn and to grow. Thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just give you permission. Take out, Lord, any impurities or divided loyalties that we may have. Lord, our heart, we solely want it to be yours. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning, or your Galaxy, or your Kindle, or iPad, iPod, etc. No, iPod won't work, I don't think. Let's say this together. These are our Bibles. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And He says we have power to overcome evil with good. We have a pure heart that speaks life to others. We are His kingdom ambassadors. And we are filled with righteousness in order to show mercy. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our series this morning on the kingdom of heaven and specifically the Beatitudes. As Jesus lays out for us in Matthew chapter 5, He begins the Sermon on the Mount with these Beatitudes. And what He's revealing is the culture and the attitudes that belong to those who possess His Father's kingdom in the present tense. In other words, that we have relationship with God now, and these are the reflecting attitudes that we carry with us. You know, it's interesting that when we started this series about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I kind of felt like we were just in a holding pattern. We were going to get through the holidays, and the Lord said, hey, you know, you need to teach on the Beatitudes. And I said, okay, great. And we're just hanging on to get to spiritual development. But my, oh my, this series has really, the Lord has used it to examine our hearts. And, you know, I think the reason is because desire always precedes development. You're not going to see spiritual development in 2014 if you have no desire in your heart to be developed. And I'm just being honest with you. He has raked us over the coals pretty good in regard to where are we at in our heart internally. And, you know, this one's no different today. So we're going to get inside the big ship again. Pastor will be right there with you. And let's let him grow us, okay? Let's let him challenge us in our hearts. Well, in Matthew 5:1, he says, well, the scripture says, and seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain. He was seated, and his disciples came to him. And then he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed, which means beyond happy, fortunate, beyond human circumstances. I mean, you can find this if you study it out, even in the Amplified Bible. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We always get chances to practice meekness. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise God. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And then verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. This should be no surprise this deep into the Beatitudes that Jesus is very concerned about the condition of the human heart. He is interested much more in that than just human behavior. Jesus came, and it's no surprise, early on in his ministry. We are early on, and he is uncovering man's chief issue. It's an issue of the heart. Now remember, the Pharisees, the ones the church people thought they had a corner on God, they were the ones that didn't like what he had to say the most, but they were the best at outward behavior. Think about that. They were good at behaving, quote, properly. But Jesus said of them, your heart is far, far from me. He called them pretenders and hypocrites, fakers. Because outwardly, yes, but you're not one with yourself. Your heart and your actions. So the word here, pure, I'm going to get into this a little more in a little bit, but I want you to put this in your notes. It means single. The word pure means one. It means single. It means undivided. How many of you know truth doesn't have any impurity or deception in it? It's just truth. It's single. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. You ever heard of 100% pure orange juice? All right, why do they say that? Because there's not supposed to be anything else in it. 100% orange. No impurities, nothing else added. You know, Jeremy talked in first service this morning about we have all these instruments, and we have TVs, and we have sound, but worship can never be about those things. Worship is about one thing, God. And so that is pure worship, when it's all about Him. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. How blessed are the single, the focused, the pure, the fully devoted in heart. They shall see God. He didn't come to reform the behavior of our world. He came to reform the condition of human hearts. Okay? If you can reform a man's heart and redeem it, purify it, change it, get it born again, you can affect his behavior. Jesus did not come to affect human behavior. He came to affect human heart conditions. Amen. Matthew 23:26 for your notes. Jesus says this to the Pharisees, those so good outwardly. He says, "Why do you all clean the outside of the cup first? Do you not know that if you clean the inside of a man, the outside will then naturally become clean?" 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart. From out of the heart flow all the issues of life." Anybody got any issues? I told you, it's a big boat this morning. That word issues also means boundaries and borders. So guard your heart. It's the limitations you set on your life. You need to have some strict limitations in regard to certain things. But you need to have the throttle completely wide open on other God things. Guard your heart, because out of it come the limitations, the borders and the boundaries that you set. And then we all love this one. Matthew 12:34, "What is in your heart," Jesus said, "what is in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth." Not what's in your heart a little, what's in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth. It is a law. Do you realize Jesus, based on these statements, would not be satisfied with a society that was free from adultery, the act of adultery? He wouldn't be satisfied with that. He's only satisfied when the society and the culture are free from the desire for adultery. Can we climb the mountain together today? Can we just go up the hill and sit down with Jesus? Amen. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to get off the Gerbers, right? I mean, we're going to have to eat the meat at some point. Everybody say, "I love Pastor Steve." Now, everybody knows what Gerbers is, right? I'm talking about baby food. Okay. Touch your neighbor and say, "I am not a baby." I'm telling you, hey, if you're ready to grow, 2014, I'm telling you, church, I just never forget being there alone with the Lord in that hotel room in Tulsa. And he said, "Steve, I want to develop you that you might develop others." You know, he wants to grow you, church. He wants to mature you, because the body of Christ, I mean, a lot of people think immorality is our problem. Immaturity is our problem. Immaturity. We have fed so long on milk and Gerbers. You know, and it goes back to kind of like Peter. Peter, he was willing to give the Lord everything. He left the boats, he left everything. But when it came to him giving the Lord himself, that's when he balked. Because remember, Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to have to suffer and die, and they're going to do all this to me." And Peter said, "Lord," he rebuked Jesus. That's what the Bible said. He said, this will never happen to you. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're mindful of the things of men and not of God. See, Peter was okay forfeiting some boats, but he knows this guy's the pattern. And wherever he's going, I'm going. And if self-giving love and self-sacrifice is the key in this kingdom, he balked at it. You know, that's where we're going. I want to, when people see me, I want them to see Christ. That's what I want. And I know it's painful, but it's fun. And what makes it fun is we all need to grow. Ain't a one of us looking at somebody else thinking, he's talking to you, not me. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? All right. Jesus wouldn't be as content with a society that had no active adultery. He wants a society that has no divided hearts over adultery. No one even wants to commit adultery. Because in Matthew 5, 27 and 28, just a few verses down from this, he's still in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you've heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So in Jesus' perfect world, which we know as the kingdom of heaven, that's the world, the culture he wants spread all over the United States of America. There's no adultery in heaven. We all agree with that. But there's no one wanting to commit adultery in heaven. Pure hearts, and they're seeing God, church, I guarantee you. So he comes, he identifies the heart issue. The religious people who did well outwardly, they give him problems about it. Because, see, religion can fool people, but you cannot fool God. Your outward behavior, yeah, that can fool some people, but you cannot fool God who looks on the heart and the intent of your heart. So praise God, Jesus is going to go to the cross and give us an opportunity to get a new one. Let's look at Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. He's prophesying here about a new covenant that's coming, a new agreement with God, what God's going to do. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside of you. And I'll take the heart of stone that's hard in your flesh there, and I'm going to give you a soft one. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you from inside to walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. The government in the United States can make all the laws they want to conform us outwardly to behave. What they don't understand is once a person's heart is regenerated and filled with the love of God, they'll keep all the rules and more. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Not only will I not steal from my neighbor now, I'll feed him if he is hungry. The government cannot do that for society. So he didn't come here to just change some bad habits. Hey, you guys got some bad behavior that needs fixing. He came to purify our hearts. And let's don't get our theology messed up. Just a quick aside here. You remember when he said, we talked about mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. He's not saying, hey, go show mercy and I'll give you some. You can't show mercy apart from the merciful one. Okay? So in the same way, this is not an invitation for you to, by yourself, go try to be pure. And then your reward is you'll see God when you're dead and in heaven. That is so far from the truth, okay? You cannot have a pure heart apart from the pure one. So what we see in this is our need for a pure heart, and he is supplying that to us. Matter of fact, with the Beatitudes, as always, it points out the absolute brilliance of Jesus and his ideas and his plans and his truth and the fallibility of humankind and what our ideas are, how we think society should be formed. Think how helpless, let's take a little journey together. Think how helpless our local, state, and federal government is to solve our nation's problems. Yet we have a lot of people that look to the government to do it. They can't do it. All they can do is address outward behavior and react. Jesus, though, he says it could be a heart issue. And I say that tongue in cheek because he never said any time could be. It is. Jesus did not deal in idealism and philosophy. He dealt in realism and truth. When he speaks, he's just telling you the facts. Nothing up for debate. He's just telling you. I mean, Jesus is the truth in person. So he's not spouting philosophy. But the government is powerless and impotent to help our nation's problems. Let's pick one. Let's just pick a problem. There was a recent study. 48% of all babies born in the United States are born outside of wedlock. The average age for the first time in our nation's history, the average age for first child for a woman is now 25. Average age for marriage for a woman in this country is now 26. So, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that basically half the babies born in the United States have a strong possibility they're going to grow up without a father present in the home. Now, the long-term effects of that, we probably can't measure, but I foresee it as catastrophic. Because babies do need a godly father in the home. Amen. Who leads by what he supplies, not by what he demands. Remember, dads, if you beget it, you're obligated to fund it. If it came from you, you must fund it. One of the definitions of father, when you study it out in the Bible, is provider. Source. Seriously, source, provider. So if you beget it, you fund it. So what can the government do when half the households have single moms and these little babies who don't have their source with them, their provision, their security, all those things that the father, godly father, should be supplying? The government, all they can do is throw money at it. What they'll try to do is ease the financial strain on the single mom. So they're going to take tax money and they're going to give her money. And then the children, they need money too. So we're going to care for them. And we're going to try to give them educational benefits and advantages to make up for the absence of the good godly father. Now, fornication, which is sex between two people who aren't married, is not an outward issue. Jesus said himself, it's internal. It's a heart issue. But how long will we have to wait to see a candidate stand up and say, in America, guys, I realize we've got this problem, we got debt going crazy, but America, we have heart issues. And we had better turn back to God so we can see God in our nation. Because if it says, blessed are the pure in heart, the single, the focused, the fully devoted, they'll see God. If that's true for an individual, is it true for a nation? See, they're powerless to do anything about it. All they can do is throw money at it. Do you think Jesus would show up and say, you know what, I can cure America's issues. We just got to give more money to single moms. He's going to say, you all have heart issues. Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 17. Jesus said, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which come out of the mouth, well, they come from the heart, and that's what reveals if a man is defiled. Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. He was talking to the Pharisees there. Jesus would show up and say, you know what, let's deal with people's hearts. And they'd probably want to kill him for messing in their business. But Jesus recognized something that we all need to recognize, that the government remains impotent to do anything about the collapse of our society until we recapture the value of a pure heart. Like I said, Christ-filled Christians, we don't need the law to cause us to do what's right. Do you think it was the law that kept Jesus in line for 33 years? Oh, it was that blessing and cursing. If I don't heal this woman, God won't bless me. If I don't read the scriptures and the scrolls every day, God won't bless me. You think it was the rules that kept him doing what he was doing? Not a chance. The man's heart was full of the Spirit of God. And he was single in his focus. He was fully committed and devoted to his Father's will. And we got to witness, through scripture, the fruit of that man. Amen. Give God praise. Because Jesus is fantastic. Fantastic. And unfortunately, instead of telling us to speak up more about the condition of the human heart, they're telling us to shut up. Am I right? They don't want to hear what we have to say. And in fairness to the world, the church for years went about it the wrong way. We ran out of church in self-righteousness. This is why he's married those who hunger and thirst for righteousness with those who want mercy. Let me fill you full of righteousness as a gift, so when you go out and minister, you'll minister in mercy and not condemnation, forgetting where you came from. So the church ran out the doors and condemned everybody. You fornicated, you're a sinner. You did this, you're a sinner. No, those are not our weapons. Our weapons are not ill will and condemnation. Our weapons are goodwill, mercy, righteousness, and love. Amen. Now give him praise. Now give him praise. So they try to make us be quiet. We're not going to be quiet, but we are going to go about it the right way. Full of righteousness, we extend mercy. Amen. That's why, you know, I prayed before we started. There's no condemnation. For those that you've struggled with fornication or sex outside of marriage, God's not condemning you. But I can tell you, he has a right way that life works. And we seem blessed when we walk in his way. And what I mean by blessed is not a check in the mail. I mean internally blessed. I sleep well. You know, I had a man that I was visiting with after first service, and he just came talking to me and about some of his mistakes he's made in the course of his life. And, you know, one particular sin that he had committed, he literally was sick. Sick, threw up. You know, we're just not made for it. And so when we follow his way, we are blessed. And it's an inward blessing beyond our circumstances. It's an inward euphoria, heaven, if you will. Okay, here's the last one. We simply cannot relieve the temporal miseries of man while setting aside the centrality of God. And that's what our government tries to do. The whole culture is like, oh, put God over in the corner. He doesn't know anything about how life is to be lived. That's all pie in the sky business. What good does it do to see God? I mean, come on. Push him over there. We cannot fix the ills of our society without getting back to the centrality of God in this nation. This governmental structure was founded for a people who have a God consciousness. Amen. And you take him out, we're asking for trouble. And you'll notice the more he's marginalized, the more laws on the books. Because you can't fix a heart problem with laws. Now, let me go one step further. We can't do this, set aside the centrality of God in human existence, because we didn't make ourselves. God made us. He knows how we work best, not only individually, but as a society and as a nation. The laws of the kingdom work. But remember, like we heard last week, we cannot achieve a kingdom end in unkingdom ways. I know you want to repay evil for evil. I know you want to sock him with that insult. You're not going to achieve a kingdom end through unkingdom methods. Now, let's talk about what it is to be pure in our heart. We mentioned It's the word single. There's no divided loyalties. Soren Kierkegaard. Anybody heard of him? Great author. Soren Kierkegaard said, actually he wrote a book called Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. Purity of heart is to will one thing. It doesn't necessarily mean you never make a mistake. How many of you know you can be pure in your heart and you can hurt somebody? Okay, so he's not talking about you never fail. If you'll go around and never fail, you'll see God. He's talking about purity, single, devoted in your heart. You will one thing, and the one thing is God. That's what it is to be pure in heart. Look at Psalm 24, verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? David's writing this. Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now he's going to define it for you. He who's not lifted up his soul to an idol, that would be divided loyalties, nor sworn deceitfully. So deceit, impurity in the heart, in the motive. Okay, deceit, impurity in the heart, and in the motive. So I want to say again, we're not talking about a purity where you never make a mistake. Stacy and I have never intentionally, willfully hurt anyone in this church. Never. And I can tell you that just, God is my witness, never intentionally done that. Now, have people been hurt? Yes. But we never willed that. And we certainly were not trying to be goody-goody to them to their face and injure them over here. That would be deceit. Okay? So it's to will one thing. It's also being honest and authentic after you make a mistake. That's when you're pure in heart. That's when you're single in heart. And it's easy, correct me if I'm wrong, it's easy to apologize when your heart is pure. Oh my goodness, God, I did not mean for that to happen. Please forgive me. It's easy. The pure in heart shall see God. So honesty is a character trait of God. Don't conceal like he doesn't see it anyway. Don't conceal from God. Be open. Be honest. Be single in your heart. Be pure in your heart. Honesty is an act of purity and singleness of heart. That's why when you lie, or the Bible says, bear false witness, here's what's happening. When you're bearing false witness, you're lying to someone, here's what's happening. You will to do one thing, and yet you will that people think you're doing another. So do you see divided loyalty? You will that you will to do one thing, and yet you will that people think you're doing another. A woman who has a husband and a boyfriend is divided. She does not will one thing. She wills to be married, but she also is over here. So thus you have that impurity in motive. James 4:8 calls it double-minded. This is good. James 4:8. Says, purify your hearts, you men of double mind. What he means is you have two allegiances. Now remember, your heart, your new heart, the Bible talks about the heart in the way of the mind and then also the heart in the way of the spirit. Okay? So we need to understand that. Your spirit, you have the heart of Christ. You're pure as the wind-driven snow. And you need to align yourself with that pure heart. Okay, but you do have sin that works in you and against you. And so it tries to lure you into division. Does that make sense? That makes sense to me. Okay, Matthew 6:22. Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, that's King James there. If your eye is single, pure, single. If your eye is pure, then your whole body will be full of light. But if you let in the darkness, how great the darkness. And then listen to what he says right after that statement. This is verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other. Okay? Divided loyalties. So the double-minded man has his heart divided between the world and God. How about this? The flesh and the spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit. The spirit wars against the flesh. Remember, you're not warring against the flesh. The spirit is. We try to do that, don't we? Oh, I'm resisting. I'm fighting. I'm not going to do that. Done. The spirit, what you need to do is rest, receive, submit, surrender to the spirit of Christ. He wars against the flesh. You stay here. I'm at rest, Lord. Yes, I'm seated. I'm seated in my sonship. Thank you for who I am. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm pure in my heart. I'm pure in my motives. Amen. Another place that Jesus revealed purity of the heart, Matthew 22:37. We saw it on the screen today that earth shakers are going to be studying out the scripture. Remember the two great commands. They asked him, what's the greatest command? Matthew 22:37. He said, here it is, boys. I'm going to sum up the whole thing. Love, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That is the great command. What's he talking about? Purity of heart. He's talking about singleness. We love God and not another. Right? Just like David said in Psalm 24. An idol, if I love God, but I love this idol, I've got divided loyalties. If I'm deceitful, and boy, the Pharisees were good at this. Because they said they're all about God, but Jesus said inwardly, you love yourselves. You're divided in your loyalty. So Jesus says, not part of your heart, love God with all of your heart. And the devil will do anything to keep your heart divided. He'll give you all kinds of opportunities to split your allegiance or to not be all in with your will and your mind. For example, sickness, worry, fear, a bad boss, in-laws. Shall I go on? The devil will use all these things out here to split your loyalty. He'll do anything to keep your eyes out of the spirit where you can do what you see your Father do. The eye is the lamp of the body. Did Jesus ever go around? Did he even say, I only do what I... His heart was single. He's seeing God. The enemy throws you distractions all day long to keep you from seeing your Father, that you might do what your Father does and say what he asks you to say. And he'll use anything and everything, because your eye is the lamp to your body, to take your eyes off of your Father. Do you remember last Sunday when the Lord invited us into a divine exchange at communion? And we lined up at communion. And he used blind Bartimaeus. You remember blind Bart, where Jesus was coming by and called. He said, you can come. And blind Bart threw off his beggar's garment. He threw off his old identity before Jesus threw off his old identity of begging and blindness. That was faith. And the Lord said, you all come and we'll trade. I'll give you my life, which was represented at that table, and you give me your old garment. And people wrote down on those 3x5 cards the things they were exchanging that day. Here's what the Lord told me. He said, Steve, the purpose of that command, that invitation, was simply love from a pure, undivided heart. I was just welcoming them to love me with all of their heart. No more divided loyalties. Now let me tell you where he got that. 1 Timothy 1:5, because I'm like, Lord, that sounds familiar. 1 Timothy 1:5, now the purpose of the command is love from a pure heart, love from a good conscience, and love from sincere, unhypocritical faith. The Pharisees were hypocrites because they were pretenders. The purpose of the command is love from a pure heart and sincere faith. I love that. Let me say one more time. Do not strive to be pure yourself. Simply surrender to the pure heart of Christ that is in you, that is already solely devoted and single on the Father. Amen. Isn't it good to say that? It's good to be reminded, because I don't want you all running out of here pulling yourself up by your bootstraps to be pure. If you're born again, you are pure in your heart. And what he's asking, what he's dealing with, is your motives and your will. Will you will one thing? That's your choice. He can't do that for you. Will you will him? All in. Now, lastly, what does Jesus mean by they shall see God? Does he mean, well, there he is. He appeared over there. There he is. No, he means, blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God everywhere in everything. Titus 1:15. Write that down. Put it on your fridge. The Bible says in Titus 1:15, to the pure in heart, all things are pure. To the pure in heart, listen, everyone is pure. And now I can serve people not because of the purity of their heart, but the purity of mine. Now, friends, this is how Jesus Christ gave his life for this world. It wasn't because you're so pure or she's so pure. It's because Jesus was so pure. To the pure in heart, everyone was worth dying for. So what does that mean? What he's saying is, when you're pure in heart, you're going to see God in everyone, everywhere. Everyone, everywhere. You'll see him in your family. You'll see him in your job. You'll see him at school. You'll start seeing mess in your marriage. Because you're so focused, you're so single on God, everything that happens in your marriage, even good, bad, and yes, ugly, you will see God start working in the midst of it. You'll see him in everything. Amen. We had somebody in first service shout, "Your enemy." And I said, "Yes. Even when your enemy wars against you because of your purity, your focus, your singleness in heart, you can see God use that situation. God, thank you for allowing that so you can mature me, so you can grow me, so you can heal me, so you can develop me, so you can give me new perspective that it's not all about me. Clearly this man is broken. Clearly hurting people hurt people. Let me pray for him. Use it. Because God, you waste nothing. I see you in everything. You waste nothing." Psalm 125, verse 5 and 6. "He who goes forth weeping is just gathering seed for sowing." Even in my misery, and we had a dear brother, he has suffered greatly, and he was here in first service. And I told him, even the worst crap we could ever face on this planet that we wouldn't wish on anybody, in our Father's redemptive hands becomes fertilizer. And he uses it to start growing. And he grows me and he puts seed in my hand. No, I didn't want to walk through this, but Lord, if you can use this calamity that I might help someone down the road, maybe my child, maybe my grandchild, somebody who needs a little perspective, then use it because you waste nothing. I see you in everything. Come on, give him praise. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. Amen. Bless you, Father. Invincible. Everybody say, "I'm invincible." The pure in heart, the single, the focused. You're invincible. It's MC Hammer. Can't touch this. We need to bust that out one of these times. I quoted John Cougar in first service. Hurt so good. Because You're single in your heart. You're focused. You're all in with God. Everything you go through is full of destiny. It's all preparation. It can't hurt me. It's preparation. If I got to walk through this, it's just preparation. Because God's got something down the road for me to do. He's equipping me. He's filling my hands with seed. Everything is conforming me to the image of God's Son. When I'm persecuted at my job because of these yahoos, not my job, I'm just using that figurative speech. I recovered quickly. I got staff sitting in these seats. They're good to me. They're good to me. But if I'm being persecuted, thank you, Lord, that persecution is conforming me to the image of your Son, because I know he was persecuted, and how he overcame it was not with an iron sword, but a wooden cross. Whatever the adversity, God is greater. Thank you, Lord, that you cause all things to work together for my good. All things, not just good things, all things. How does that happen? Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. You will see God in everything, everywhere. And I'm not saying he even causes it. When I prayed for my brother this morning that's gone through some really heartbreaking things the last year, I didn't pray that God had did that. I prayed, God, I thank you that you cause all things, even things you don't will, to work together for the good. God's not overriding people's free will on this planet. That's why stuff happens that's hurtful and painful. Is this good? So because my eye is single, because I'm all in and I'm fully devoted in my will, I will one thing, and that one thing is God. That one thing is that when people see me, they see him. And what better way for them to see him than to be offset against their nastiness? What better way for people to see light than when there's darkness? So because of this, I'm at peace with God. And because I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with myself. There seems to be something right about this, that he accepts me. He loves me. Amen. And not just because I'm single in heart. He loves me and accepts me because of Christ and his and God's love for me. But what happens is when we go all in, it bears witness to us. Okay? When we go all in, we feel right. Yeah, this seems right. So I'm at peace with God. Well, now I'm at peace with myself. Because I'm at peace with self, I'm at peace with others. Because I'm at peace with others, I'm at peace with the world around me. Doesn't mean I don't want to see change. But in bringing about that change, I will not venture into unkingdom methods. So now I see God daily guiding me. I hear him daily speaking to me. You're alive with life because you're all in. You see him in everything that's going on, how he can use it, how he can turn it. You and God work daily in the same business. Oh, Jeremy, you can come. You guys are at work in the same business, the kingdom business. You and God, you're partners. You're at peace with him. Yes, you've got some deficiencies. And listen to me, you'll always have deficiency. You'll always need him. Even that day you lived so perfect and you never did anything wrong. Dependent. And if you did that whole day being good without God, it wasn't acceptable anyway. You cannot be good without God. Be careful that you don't measure yourself by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Your idea of what is good is not the standard. Christ is the standard. See, we knew he'd find a way to use that, didn't we? Dennis brought that to me this morning. God just kept turning that over in his spirit. Don't measure yourself by the tree of good and evil. Are you getting healed today? Amen. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you at the end of this service. And I want to commend you for letting him do this. Letting the word work. You know, we do have a small part to play. Grace through faith. Grace is his power and what he can do. But faith is our receptivity. God's healing her today. Go ahead and stand with me. Together with God, every day, church, you're working the biggest job, on the biggest scale, on the biggest stage. It's a universal stage. God owns the universe. Amen? You think you're a truck driver. You're not a truck driver. You're a son of the Most High God. That's your job. That you and God are partners in kingdom business. He just stuck you in truck driving because there's other truck drivers that need healed. Last thing, when you become right on the inside, it's amazing how you're awakened to see God on the outside. But it all starts in here. Let Him awaken you within that you can see Him everywhere without. Make sense? Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve,
Your kingdom will last forever.
This is Pastor Steve, and on behalf of my wife, Stacy, and our leadership here at Grace Church, we wanted to say thank you so much for listening today. Always remember that man is too great of a creation to be satisfied by anything but God. And so when we take in His Word by the Spirit, it's as natural for us as our lungs taking in air. I also want to make mention, feel free to go to our website, gracechurchok.com. You can access more messages there, either through audio or also through video. God bless you, and thank you again for listening.